And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, March 16th, 2018. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today, so let's get right on into it. A lot of stuff going on. Today, March 16th, is the 15th anniversary of the murder of Rachel Corrie. And she was a Palestinian activist. She was actually an American, but she was over in Gaza. And she tried to block a bulldozer from demolishing a home. And the bulldozer ran her down and then backed over her. And, of course, Israel's official declaration, it was an accident. The bulldozer operator couldn't see her. And yet photos that were taken just minutes before it happened, it's very obvious that the bulldozer driver could see her, was looking right at her. So, again, this is the sort of thing that happens over in Israel. Now, a lot of stuff going on around the administration, and talk about a lot of firings. Sessions is saying he's considering firing McCabe, but frankly, I don't think it's going to happen because that's just the way it works in Washington, D.C. If you do the dirty work for the higher-ups, you'll be protected, and McCabe is not going to be prosecuted, even though apparently he lied under oath, and he'll get his pension. That's what I think is going to happen, and I'm sorry to be cynical about it, but I think that's what's going on. Now, Sarah Carter is out there basically saying that Jeff Sessions ought to be fired because apparently in recusing himself from the Russia probe, he cited the wrong law. And everybody's sort of saying, what's going on? Doesn't he know what he's doing here? But apparently, President Trump is starting to act presidential. He's starting to realize he really is in charge. Unfortunately, with all these changes to his cabinet, he seems to be assembling a war cabinet rather than a peace cabinet. So I think we're in for some rough times. Lou Dobbs basically came on out and said, Jeff Sessions is the most feckless, incompetent attorney general in U.S. history. I guess Janet Reno will have to settle for the silver on that particular one. And it's finally been revealed just who leaked that Russian dossier to CNN. Now, remember, all the way back in January of last year, CNN revealed the existence of that fake news Russia dossier that was used to start justifying spying on Trump. Now, CNN didn't publish it. It was laundered through BuzzFeed. And once its existence became public, the rumor of collusion, despite no evidence, began to swirl. But who leaked it to CNN? Well, apparently the House Intelligence Committee has determined that Obama's former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, was the individual who leaked the dossier's existence to CNN. So a lot of machinations back there in the dark. Now, the FBI's watchdog recommends firing Andrew McCabe. Apparently, so does the current deputy FBI director. But the White House is saying it's up to Jeff Sessions, and with Sessions looking at his own possible termination, he may not be all that ready to go along with this thing. I think McCabe is going to get his pension. However, according to law professor Jonathan Turley, McCabe has much bigger problems than his pension. Everybody's been obsessing about his pension. But basically, McCabe is looking at legal trouble. And apparently, the inspector general has come on out and said that McCabe did intentionally mislead investigators on that whole case. So, but again, I don't think anything's going to get done. It never does. And no matter how cynical I get, I just can't keep up. Now, we're still hearing about McMaster, and there have been rumors of his departure from the White House. The White House denies anything is going on, but even the Washington Post has come on out saying that McMaster is on his way out, going to be replaced by Josh Bolton, hardcore neocon. If McMaster goes, that'll make 25 departures in Trump's first 419 days, or an average of one every 17 days, a lot of turnover. Again, the way the White House staff is swinging appears to be more toward war than toward peace here. Now, there's been another breaking case regarding Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. Do you remember all the way back when Michael Flynn was being investigated by the FISA court, and there was this judge, Rudolph Contreras, was recused from handling the case just days after accepting Michael Flynn's guilty plea. And it's come on out why he was forced to recuse himself. It turns out that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were communicating with the judge, trying to basically go after Michael Flynn. And these text messages were intentionally withheld from congressional investigators. So it's just crazy out there. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. There's a new book out called Secret Empires, and it's talking about this very questionable timeline involving Joe Biden and John Kerry. And basically, the New York Post published an excerpt of this book, and Lou Dobbs went on about this last night as well, where basically former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden's firm, scored a $1 billion deal with the Bank of China's Bohai Capital just 10 days after Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, returned from a trip to China. So people are digging at all this crime and corruption. Now, this all happened back in 2013, but still in all, there's a lot of high-level corruption going on. The leaders of our country are acting like the rules don't apply to them, and even worse, that this country is theirs to sell off as they see fit. And that's what led to all these conflicts out in Nevada and up at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, where the government was trying to kick people off their lands in order to turn around and sell them to developers or to the Uranium One deal. Now, there's a story that came on out from Citizen Free Press. According to a frontline GOP strategist, sometime after Easter, Paul Ryan will announce his retirement from Congress. Now, this source has asked for the name to be withheld. So already it's questionable. But that's the latest rumor that's floating around there. Democratic Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, the oldest serving House member, has passed away at age 88. The official story is she fell in her house, suffered a hand injury, concussion, swelling of the brain, and has passed away. Now, Hillary Clinton, as you know, she's touring around India, and there's that video of her slipping on the stairs, even though she's being held up by two guys, one on each side. Well, apparently she's had another little whoopsie. She slipped in the bathtub and fractured her wrist, and there's a picture going around of her with this obviously very contrived outfit on that covers the wrist and the hand so people don't see the cast. And being 65 going on 66, I understand that you have to be careful. You can't do what you used to do, and you become fragile, and you suffer injuries, and you know, it's almost enough to make me sympathize with her. Almost. Not really, but almost. There's a twinge in there somewhere, I think, here. Now, a lot of attention is being brought to bear on the corporate social media platforms and the now very much in the open censorship and how much influence they're having on the electoral process. And apparently, they're all saying, no, we're completely unbiased, But according to The Intercept, when Mark Zuckerberg was asked if Facebook had influenced the outcome of the 2016 presidential election, he dismissed the notion that the site even had such power. And it was a disingenuous remark because Facebook's website at the time had an entire section devoted to touting the success stories of political campaigns that used the social network to influence electoral outcomes. That page has now been taken down, even as the 2018 congressional primaries get underway. Now, obviously, Facebook's influence in 2016 wasn't a success because they were fully on board with Hillary Clinton. But according to an article over at Western Journal, somebody has been analyzing Facebook's recent algorithm change and said, yes, it is very biased. It is crushing conservative sites and boosting liberals. And it's just out there in the open. Conservatives are being denied a voice heading into the 2018 midterm elections. And that's why we all have to start going to alternative social media sites. Because if you're a conservative, it's a waste of time to go to Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. Twitter hit 48% of tweets using the hashtag DNC leak and 25% of tweets using hashtag Podesta emails during the 2016 election. That's clearly a case of meddling and denial of First Amendment. So we have to stop using those social media platforms. It's a complete waste of time. The liberals love it because they get to live in their fantasy liberal universe. But if we're going to have an outreach to fellow conservatives and to the American public in general, we have to find other means to do it. One of the best, of course, is word of mouth. And so you might want to start thinking of yourselves as evangelists, if you will, for the independent media and just make a point of talking up Republic Broadcasting and whatreallyhappened.com. Just tell all your friends. Email it out. We need to balance this. We need to get balance back into the public discussion regarding the upcoming elections here. Now, over at Oraz.com, they have an article on how Russian trolls smeared Senator John McCain as a traitor on social media. Right now, apparently, if you say anything critical about anybody in the government, no matter how much they deserve it, oh, you must be a Russian troll. You can't be a real American citizen. Real Americans just love and trust and would never say anything bad about our politicians. I mean, we gave you the First Amendment right to freedom of speech. We didn't expect you were actually going to use it. Now, don't forget, when John McCain was held in North Vietnam, he made radio broadcasts on behalf of North Vietnam, kind of like a modern-day Tokyo Rose. Those audio tapes were rediscovered and made public. So it doesn't take a Russian troll to realize he was, in fact, committing an act of treason. And on his return to the United States, had it not been for a blanket pardon by Richard Nixon for all the returned Vietnam prisoners, John McCain would have been court-martialed. Now, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has spent almost $1 million on military liaison flights for himself and his entourage when he could have taken cheaper civilian flights. This is coming from a Transparency Watchdog report. Those politicians and officials, they love to live high on the hog at your expense. And then they wonder why we complain. Article out of Zero Hedge. The neocon full court press for war is here. Now, I remember the Cold War. I was old enough to be aware of it, and it was basically a lot of propaganda. Russia's evil, Russia's bad, so forth and so on. But this is different. This is different. This is actually pushing for direct confrontation, and it is insane. And ever since Putin unveiled the new doomsday weapon systems at his State of the Union address, the West has gone completely bonkers. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is saying, I simply don't have any normal terms left to describe all this. Are they all on antidepressants? Because that would be one explanation for why our government is behaving as insanely as they are. No rational, reasonable, logical person could see any point in pursuing this any further. It's all downside, no upside. We can't win this. If it goes nuclear, nobody wins it. Now, the Syrian army has managed to evacuate over 12,500 civilians from eastern Ghouta. And contrary to the corporate media spin that the Syrian people hate Assad, they're all very happy the army is there. They're telling these horror stories of what the U.S.-backed rebels were doing, how the U.S.-backed rebels were trying to keep them in Ghouta to ramp up the number of civilian casualties with which to tarnish Assad and Russia. And intentionally harming civilians in a war zone, again, it's a war crime. It's an absolute war crime. So about 800 civilians are leaving every hour through this humanitarian corridor established by the Russian Center for Reconciliation in Syria and the government forces. And footage taken on the ground is showing crowds of civilians moving through the corridor. Some are going by car. Most still travel on foot. Entire families are leaving the area, and people are carrying their children, carrying stretchers with injured or sick relatives. Look at all the devastation that has been brought to the people of Syria, courtesy of the United States government, and then multiply it by the number of countries the U.S. is currently in. And we don't actually know what that number is. We don't know all the places the U.S. is intervening right now. The corporate media is not going to tell us. It caught everybody by surprise when those four Americans got killed in Niger. And everyone's saying, we're in Niger? Now, a recent opinion piece by Tom Lister for CNN was called Assad May Win Syria's War, But He Will Preside Over a Broken Country. And basically, the Brookings Institute is saying that the U.S. has a plan B. They're starting to accept the possibility they're not going to be able to win in Syria. Their plan B is to basically leave it a scorched earth and just wreck the place. So it'll take Assad decades to rebuild again. Then they can just leapfrog over him and go after Iran. Now, Russia is once again warning, and I wish our government would listen. Russia says it will attack the U.S. military if Trump strikes Syria again. Now, remember, the last time Trump struck Syria, again, it was on the basis of bogus information, bogus claims about Assad did this, Assad did that. Assad is a lousy tipper. It wasn't really a very good demonstration of America's weapons. They launched 60 cruise missiles at the Syrian airfield. One failed coming out of the tube, and most of them completely missed the target. And those that hit the airfield hit dirt. The airfield was back in operation 24 hours later. And this is one of the reasons why countries like Turkey are saying, I don't want to buy American weapons. They don't work. They're very expensive. We're going to go to Russia. Now, Turkey is continuing its brutality against the Kurds in Afrin. More than 20 civilians have been killed. All right, let's start taking some phone calls. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I didn't think about that, about the antidepressants, but seriously, that might be one of the things with these, with our leadership. I mean, these people are nuts. They're crazy. There's going to be no
war
in confrontation. I don't, in a ground war with Russia, if it doesn't go nuclear, and it's not likely that it's going to stay non-nuclear, personally, I don't think we could win that either, even though Russia doesn't have anywhere near the amount of military hardware as we've got. They seem to have a lot better hardware, even though they spend a lot less money. I mean, look at all these big aircraft carriers we've got. They'd be sitting targets. You see that new submarine?
For those new hypersonic missiles, yes. Russia's new weapons are specifically designed to exploit the weakness in the carrier battle group doctrine.
No, I just don't understand these people. I really don't. I mean, you know, and their obsession with Assad there, still to try to get rid of Assad, they're not going to do it. Assad spiders are tough. And if Israel thinks they're just going to roll over them, they're crazy. And I got news for Mr. Erdogan there in Turkey. He ain't going to roll over to the Syrian army either. The Syrian army is tough. They're battle hardened, and they love their country. They're patriotic. They're a secular nation. They Christians, Muslims of different type. They all get along pretty well. And
okay, Mark, folks, it is really serious out here in independent media land, and we really do need your help. We're not making this stuff up. You can see it with your own eyes. All of the independent media is under attack. They're all feeling the strain, the pressure. Our advertisers are actually being threatened. We've gone way beyond Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia right now, the way this country is headed. If you are able to help, please do. And if you can send a check or money order, the postal address is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you want to call on in and become a recurring subscriber, the number is 800-724-2719, extension 03. I thank you. Republic Broadcasting thanks you. And I've actually been getting emails from people who are, in fact, becoming recurring subscribers. So that's a really good thing. We're very, very grateful. Every little tiny bit will help. Okay, back to Mark in North Carolina. It does seem like something has gone horribly wrong with our government. They're making reckless poor decisions. And it may be because they're on prescription antidepressants. We know that some of the people in Congress don't seem to be firing on all cylinders, like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters. We know there's actually a pharmacy inside the Capitol building. So apparently there is a demand for medication right there. And that may be one explanation. The other one may be, if you remember Gulliver's Travels, that the top rulers are just surrounded by all these advisors who are telling them what the rulers want to hear rather than telling them what they need to know. And it looks like Trump is unfortunately going down that same path with some of his recent acquisitions to the White House.
It's very disturbing to hear that John Bolton, this guy is evil. This guy is an evil, nasty neocon, a warmonger, and he was a draft dodger during the Vietnam War. And that he could even be considered for national security advisor tells you that Trump basically is either bought and paid for or he's a total phony. And if he does that, if he puts Bolton in there, I'm going to tell you right now, that's it. No more support for Trump. I don't care how good he is on other things like trade policy. Nope, that's it. I'm looking to support somebody in 2020. I'm hoping that somebody like a Jesse Ventura and a Cynthia McKinney form a partnership and run for a president and vice president. I think that would be. There's a lot of stuff I don't agree with Jesse on. You know, like he disbelieve in climate change and all that nonsense, and he's kind of funny on the borders. But I'm telling you, we don't need war. We don't need the destruction of the planet. Let's be honest with you. That's what nuclear war would lead to. And these madmen will get us into something like this. It just gets worse and worse. And on top of that, when Syria is being attacked for no reason and we're supporting Islamist radicals, terrorists, to try to get rid of Assad. And the other thing is what's happening in Yemen. This bothers my conscience. This is disgusting. You know, by the way, who's very good? I know, you know, just by the name, you'd think it was something else. But it's called Israeli News Service or something like News Alive. I get it on YouTube. And there's this guy, Stephen Danoon. He's not what you think. Mm-hmm. He's actually a Masonic Jew. You know, in other words, he believes in Jesus. But no matter what he believes in, he knows this is garbage. He was almost crying what's going on in Syria and what's going on in Yemen. He said he doesn't understand it. He's an American, by the way. I don't know why he calls it Israeli News Live. I don't know why he calls it that, because it's really he's an American. He's a very religious guy, you know, and he does quote Bible prophecy. But Bible prophecy, even if whether it's true or not, doesn't mean it has to happen. It may be a warning. I don't know what these people saw in the past. Maybe they did see something, but whatever it is, it doesn't have to happen. And, you know, he's very, very good. He comes out with everything that's going on. He comes out with how we're tweaking Russia, how dangerous that is. And mm-hmm. he says he's ashamed as an American, okay, that this is going on. And I don't blame him. I feel the same way. I mean, it's terrible, you know, so you might want to look at
it. I agree with you. I'm ashamed of this government. I'm not ashamed of America, and I'm not ashamed of most of the American people, but, you know, obviously I have an issue with the liberals who seem very disconnected from reality right now. And maybe it is years of denial about how bad things are in this country that has created this population who are living in a fantasy land, where open borders are a good idea and we can actually win a nuclear war. And these leaders, they all have their bunkers. Billionaires are buying nuclear bunkers. They think they're going to be able to survive this. But these nuclear weapons, the radioactive contamination from them, will last far longer than anybody can survive in an underground bunker. It really is insane that they're going this way. Anyway, listen, Mark, I got to let you go. And we're going to go back to the phones. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? Hey, the near abroad is what Russia stays close to home, so they don't need to come over here. You know, they're not an empire. You know, like that's the whole problem. Like, this country has a big navy because we're an empire. British don't have a big navy anymore because they're not an empire anymore. They're never going to be again, you know. And but your previous caller, Russia's got about 12,500 active tanks. They got like one of the largest land armies in the world, you know. We'll never defeat them. Like between them and the Chinese, you know, like it's just like it's a landlocked fortress, and we have to go there. Remember that it takes a lot more forces to penetrate their, you know, their fortress. Then they're never going to come here. We don't have anything for them to we have no factories anymore. There's no reason to come here, you know. So, hey, Mike, I got a question for you on the Tsar bomb. Like, I know it's a gigantic thing, and that was 50 megaton out of a supposed, what, 100?
Yes.
I believe. That System 6 drone torpedo the Russians developed is supposed to be capable of a 100 megaton warhead. Is that possible?
The number I heard was a 50 megaton warhead, and it all depends on how large the unit is. The Tsar bomb was a prototype. It was put together as a technology demonstrator, and the Russians were so afraid of it, they dialed it back to only 50 megatons, and it left a huge scar on the earth. But if they work to miniaturize it the way the U.S. has miniaturized nuclear warheads over the year, it's possible. If they could get one of those things underneath an American carrier group, the carrier group is going to be completely gone. And 50 megaton is a little bit of overkill, because if you remember Test Baker in the Crossroads series here in the South Pacific, they took a whole bunch of ships left over from World War II, including an aircraft carrier, and they arrayed them around this underwater nuclear detonation, and pretty much all of them were rendered unusable. And that was only, I think, 3 megaton.
And what's cobalt 59? Because the encasing of this unit is supposed to be cobalt 59, which is insane from what I read about cobalt. But, Mike, do you realize this thing has a nuclear... This thing can stay underwater for months, like just in idle, no? I mean, and it can just be used to destroy, like, installations and, like, economic ports. You know,
if this thing could go into like Los Angeles Harbor, it would destroy most of Los Angeles. What Putin is trying to do here is say nuclear war is unthinkable. Stop thinking about it. And again, it's that mutually assured destruction's doomsday scenario. Dr. Strangelove all over again.
But we're not listening, Mike. I mean, we're listening, but, you know. A lot of other people are not listening, and it's very scary. But hey, Mike, on another
before you move any further, I want to respond. Okay. The Pentagon and the Department of Defense are already out there saying Putin is bluffing. He doesn't have these things at all, and but Putin doesn't bluff. He plays chess. Americans like to bluff. Americans like poker. They love gambling. They love the game of hearts. I think you need to take into account the fact that Russia just released a video test of that hypersonic missile. So they at least have got that. And that thing is a carrier killer. There is absolutely nothing that the U.S. has right now that could intercept and take out a maneuvering hypersonic attack, the Sea Skimmer. The close-in weapon systems.
That was on the MiG-31, I believe.
What was that?
I think that was the one on the MiG-31, the Kinzel system, the Dagger. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's. You see the size of that thing? My God.
Yes.
Now, Mike, your previous caller mentioned, you know what killed Trump with me? Everything he ran on. We're in a big fat bubble, and then when he gets in, everything's doing great. And then Russia did it, and then this woman he put in, that woman, this wretched woman who was actually involved in doing torture herself, this war criminal woman, she looks like she's out of, like, Nazi Germany, Mike. I don't care. This woman is evil. It's evil. My God, Mike, I'm like, what's going on here? How can anybody want this woman to be in, you know? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, some of Trump's decisions are obviously coming from outside. We know that Israel and Sheldon Adelson and various others were really pushing him to take Josh Bolton in on the team. And, of course, Trump is, you know, out there saying, well, you know, I really like the guy and it was my idea all along. But I think, unfortunately, Trump is still being controlled primarily from outside. And he's being controlled by that that war machine. And I guess we've just reached the point where the consensus opinion within Washington, D.C. and Wall Street is that without a major war, this country will collapse. That part I agree with. The part I don't agree with is the fact that a war is going to fix the problems, because we're going to lose this one. That other caller was absolutely right. We would have to go over to Russia. They've got huge numbers of forces in uniform. So does China. America, meanwhile, over the last 18 years, has drawn down all of our stockpiles. We've used up a lot of our weapon systems. Apparently, they break rather easily. And we don't have the manufacturing to produce war materiel in the volume necessary to sustain a major combat. We just don't.
And then, Mike, real quick, switching gears on the economy real quick. March 26th, the Chinese, something goes online, right? Like some, is it the Shanghai now? I believe the co-op or something's coming up.
No, the Shanghai Cooperative Organization is already up and running. The Russians and the Chinese, I think BRICS is setting up their own Hang on. I think BRICS is...
Hang on.
I think what's happening at the end of the month, the BRICS nations have been working on their own electronic funds transfer system to parallel SWIFT, because it's U.S. control of SWIFT that allows the U.S. to actually enforce their sanctions all over the globe. And a lot of people want to get out from underneath that sword of Damocles.
That's what I meant. There's a SWIFT alternative. That's what comes online March 26th. That's why there's this run-up, Mike, to the war.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to take a call from Steve Elkins. Then we're going to close the lines because I got a bunch of news to get through before Claire joins us. Steve, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've got to say that a lot of your callers are really sharp people. Of course, you already know that, your listening audience. But John Bolton, a very poor choice if Trump considers putting him in the administration. Very poor choice. I kind of put him in the same category as Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
No, I would not put John Bolton in any kind of government office. Actually, I would believe he was. He probably has some kind of. He probably has some travel restrictions also placed on him that he cannot travel about in the world also, or he'll be thrown in as a war criminal. But the reason I called in is you were talking about John McCain, and I can't tell you how many people I have educated on this coward, this traitor, John McCain, and that he was. He simply let it be known that he was. The son of an admiral, high-ranking admiral in the Navy, and became a bartering chip. The man is not courageous. He is a coward. And I can only assume he got in through election fraud or voter fraud in Arizona all these years. But he is not the man the media portrays. See, he's a disgrace of a human being.
But he's a good friend of Israel, and therefore he's untouchable. I've gotten emails from some of the people who were actually on that aircraft carrier, and they confirmed the story that McCain liked to do wet starts with his jet to spook the pilot behind him and accidentally cooked off some of the missiles on the plane behind him. And that's what led to that devastating fire. And because he was the admiral's son, they got him off the ship. He left the ship before any of the wounded did.
Right. Hey, last thing I was thinking about RBN, and I'm very proud to be part of this network. And I got to say, Mike, you do a fabulous job. I really mean that. There are a lot of great hosts on this network. And I was trying to think about some kind of little slogan for the network to kind of throw at the other hosts to mention on the show. And I came up with Keep RBN Alive, Tell Five. And that I mean tell five other people who don't know about this network to check out the website, check out the Listen Live, go look at the banner articles, learn something, and share it with others. So keep RBN Alive, Tell Five. And I'm going to be pushing that on Sunday because this is a great network. I've looked at a lot of talk radio networks, and the variety and the perspective here at this network, like I say, you do a fabulous job. And I only came by the network because of you, actually, when I learned You were on Coast to Coast AM one day. We were talking about what was going on in the world, and I thought, my God, this is refreshing. I have never heard this talk before. So I followed you on over here to RBN, and, you know, I've been a fan of RBN since. So I just want to say congratulations for what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, but keep RBN alive. Tell five others.
I love it. I'm going to use it. I hope John Stadmiller is listening to this because I think it's a great idea. And obviously, you're doing a great job as well, and welcome aboard. And yes, it's all my fault that you wound up here. And RBN is a great network to work for. For one thing, having worked for some other independent media outlets, this is the only place where there is no censorship at all imposed. And that's one of the reasons why I want to stay here as long as I possibly can, because that is, in these times, that's a really, really good thing. But like I said, we're coming under pressure. Our advertisers are being threatened. And if you can help, please do. And meanwhile, Steve's come up with a great idea. Keep RBN alive, tell five, and then tell those five to tell five. Just keep it going, cascaded forward. All right, thanks an awful lot, Steve. We're going to let you go. We're going to close the phone lines for a while because I got a bunch of important stuff to get to before the Lady Claire joins us. So, story coming out of Russia Insider describes what's going on as the U.S. and Great Britain trying to Iraq Russia. Now, the pro-war against Russia people are not getting a lot of traction. Nobody's buying this stuff about the spy. And so now they're playing that chemical weapons gambit. You know, if we don't attack Russia first, they're going to attack the world with chemical weapons. Nikki Haley's already up there at the UN saying, if the world doesn't punish Russia now, that Russia's going to start attacking us with chemical weapons. Boy, have we heard that one before. Remember Colin Powell and his little vial of talcum powder up at the United Nations? They must really think we are morons to think we would fall for that again. Now, up in Canada, there's this Archbishop, Gabriel, and he serves as the Bishop of Canada with the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, which is part of the main Russian church. And in an interview recently with Brother Nathaniel, he described this spy poisoning as basically like a KKK lynching. They're just going to grab a victim. They don't have any evidence of any wrongdoing. They're just going to go ahead and lynch Russia. And that's exactly the mindset that seems to be taking hold of this Russia-bashing situation. Now, Britain is now threatening to seize a Russian oligarch's luxury real estate because of the ex-spy's poisoning. It's just another goad, another poke. They're trying to get Putin to do something overt that can be seized on as a reason to escalate the situation towards a real war. Now, over in Great Britain, Jeremy Corbyn has tried to act like the voice of reason. And he's saying, let's have a real investigation. Let's find out exactly what was used and how it was used and try and figure out what really happened. And the immediate response in the British corporate media is, oh, Jeremy Corbyn must be a Russian stooge. It's like that's become the knee-jerk reaction of the establishment. If you don't agree with them, oh, you're a Russian stooge. You're an arm of Russian propaganda. You're a Russian agent. You're a Russian asset. But according to this article in the Daily Mail, after 13 days, detectives really don't know how the spy was poisoned. Police are suggesting his daughter might have brought the poison from Russia in her suitcase. And there's a lot of weird theories out there. One of them is that this whole spy poisoning, Russia's coming to get us, is to distract the British people from Theresa May's failure to move forward on Brexit, and in fact maybe a smoke screen to keep Great Britain enslaved to the European Union. The other theory that's gaining traction on out there is that the poisoning of Sergei Skripal connects to Hillary Clinton and the DNC, because apparently the spy who was poisoned was going to reveal MI6 was involved in forging up that Trump dossier to get rid of Trump as president. And if Skripal was going to go public on that, then yes, he's a live liability, and intelligence agencies don't like live liabilities. Another article from Fort Roos, Britain refusing to give Russia alleged poison sample. Do they actually have one? Now, obviously, with Britain saying that this likely came from Russia, they say it was developed in Russia. Actually, it was developed in Uzbekistan, maybe. We'll get into that a little bit. But this refusal to provide a sample is just a little suspicious. Now, there's this article over in CraigMurray.org. Apparently, he has got a high-placed source saying that Portendown scientists are not able to identify the poison used as being of Russian manufacture. And they're actually very resentful of the pressure being placed on them to do so. Now, here's an interesting little take on this. This is from moonofalabama.org. The name Novichok and its description basically tracks back to a book, a rather sensationalist book written by a former Soviet chemical weapons expert. You can buy it on Amazon for $18, where he describes all these horrible weapons. But more and more people are starting to say, you know, we're not sure it actually exists or could exist the way it's described in the book. You know, it's like Saddam's chemical weapons. It sounds dangerous. It may not really be there. So over at the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, now this is the intergovernmental organization overseeing the elimination of chemical weapons to comply with the Chemical Weapons Convention that all these countries have signed and most have complied with. And they have a subgroup called the Scientific Advisory Board. And apparently the Scientific Advisory Board is saying that it has insufficient information to comment on the existence of Novichoks. They're not convinced it's real, but it may have just been made up by this former Soviet chemical weapons scientist to spice up sales of the book. So this whole spy poisoning story is starting to look like Tony Blair's dodgy dossier that was just copied from an outdated 12-year-old student thesis paper. And they just dressed it up and said, yes, this proves Saddam has weapons today. They did it again. Now, interestingly enough, Theresa May visited the site where the poisoning took place. And despite all the media coverage about how toxic this was and how contaminated the area was and all these people were made sick, she walked right into it without any protective clothing whatsoever, and that ignited a Twitter storm saying this is obviously a hoax show. But we don't have to worry anymore about Novichoks or poison or anything else, because in a breaking story, the British police have announced they found Vladimir Putin's passport at the scene of the poisoning. So we can all rest our minds that the crime has been solved. Now, in the midst of all this Russia bashing, it's put a huge strain on the British natural gas supply. They get a lot of natural gas from Russia, from Gazprom. They have contracts. Russia is still sending ships of liquefied natural gas because of the cold, hard winter. Gas supplies in Great Britain, and for that matter, all of Europe, are running dangerously low. And so Theresa May was asked about, is this really a good idea to annoy Russia when we're dependent on their natural gas? To which she replied, well, they're looking for other sources. They want to cancel the contract with Gazprom and get their natural gas someplace else, which is certainly their right. Now, Fox News and a lot of others have been running this story all day, saying that Russia has been attacking U.S. infrastructure going all the way back to 2016, mostly power stations. Oh, those dastardly, dastardly, evil, evil Russians. Now, as anybody who understands computers knows, the computers that control critical systems like power stations are not connected to the global internet, precisely for the reason that you don't want somebody coming on in and messing around with it. Blowing up a power station over the internet is the stuff of science fiction movies. It's not real.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.